sit by any trees.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is a city council meeting for July 10th, 2018. The time right now is 7:02 p.m. Will everybody, let's go to roll call first. Ms. Atkinson, will you please call the roll?
Certainly, council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Hanford, and Camp.
Thank you. And we heard last time we met that Councilmember Gamble and Councilmember Rasmussen would not be here this evening. So unless there's objection, I'd like to consider the two of them as excused absences. We had not heard from Councilmember Davis, and we'll go ahead and note his arrival for the record when he enters chambers. Will everybody please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you. First item that we have on our agenda this evening is under announcements and presentations. This is item 1, AB 18-143, swearing in ceremony and distinguished services award. Mr. Dickerson.
Honorable Mayor, City Council, this is a real honor for me anytime you swear in new police officers, and we're very fortunate to have Judge Rosano here tonight to do the swearing in ceremony. But before we do that, I would like to ask that Hannah Snavely come forward. Hannah comes to us. She started with the department on August 7th, 2017. She graduated from the Basic Academy in Seattle on January 18th, 2018. She just finished her field training assignments, and Hannah lives in Redmond with her husband, Brighton, who is a Kirkland police officer. I want to congratulate you for coming to work for the Monroe Police Department. I'm very happy and very fortunate to have you. I would ask that the judge come forward.
Do solemnly swear
that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
We're going to back up because I forgot something very important. Raise your right hand. Just to let you know, the judge is not perfect. I, Hannah Snavely, do solemnly swear
that I
will support the Constitution of the United States.
I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
No, faithfully discharge.
The duties of police officer for the City of Monroe Police Department.
The duties of police officer for the Police Department of Monroe.
To the best of my abilities.
To the best of my abilities.
I know it's pretty long. Congratulations.
Officer Snavely?
Yes.
Could you introduce meet Officer Snavely. So our Officer Snavely, would you introduce your the folks that are here tonight, please?
Yeah, this is my husband, Brighton Snavely, who works for Kirkland Police Department.
Your your badge. Go ahead.
Police officer to be sworn in is Brady Pettit. Brady? Brady began his career with the department on August 21st, 2017. He graduated from the Basic Academy on February 13th, 2018. He just completed his field training assignment, and believe me, these young people went through a lot of training. I wouldn't want to have to do that anymore. But it's very, very intense. Brady's following in the footsteps of his father, who is a senior police officer for the Ridgefield Police Department. Please help me congratulate Officer Brady Pettit for joining our agency.
This time I'm going to remember. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. And I'll break it down a little bit more for you. I, Brady Pettit, do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Washington.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
And that I will faithfully discharge.
And I will faithfully discharge.
The duties of police officer.
The duties of police officer.
For the City of Monroe Police Department.
For the City of Monroe Police Department.
To the best of my abilities.
To the best of my abilities.
I'm going to make him sign really quickly.
Okay, Brady's mother, Julie, will pin the badge, and you want to introduce your family.
This is my mother, Julie Pettit, and my father, Jeff Pettit.
I'd like to invite family and friends, if they would like, to the police department for refreshments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, the next item that we have on our agenda this evening is announcements and presentation item number 2. This is AB 18-144, presentation, Downtown Monroe Association quarterly report.
Mayor, members of the council, Patty Lowe, Kirkland, Washington, current president of the Downtown Mural Association. I just wanted to take a moment to formally introduce you to our new executive director, Sarah Dunn Jensen. She's officially been on board for just about 1 month and has already made some pretty significant headway in what we're trying to do in reaching the mural community in downtown. This is a new process, obviously, for her to report to you, so I'm going to hand her the microphone and let her introduce herself and take it from here, and hopefully you'll have some questions we can answer at the end.
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I live at 511 101st Avenue Northeast in Lake Stevens, but our office is at 108 East Main Street. I'm presenting the second quarter DMA report. We kicked off the second quarter with attending the Revitalize Washington Conference in Fort Townsend. That is a national organization, but this is the local chapter, so there were cities and towns from all over Washington State. Some of the courses that we attended, which I should say most of our DMA board was able to attend, along with some of our key community volunteers, which was really exciting, and myself, I got to go as the incumbent director. The courses included a great refresher of the nonprofit Main Street 101 program, downtown roundtables where we got to sit with other cities and similar organizations, and I myself got to learn some of their struggles, some of the solutions, and some resources for solutions for us going forward, retail revamping and experiential design. From event to experience, we got to see some of the small towns turn small events into large-scale revenue producers for their downtown organizations. Social media marketing, that's one of my specialties, but it's always good to get a refresher. Young Professionals Week, which is something I'm excited to present to the city tomorrow and talk about the possibility of us doing that as a downtown organization. And one of the biggest things that I think impacted myself and Patty was the Of By Four opening ceremony and educational seminar. We actually got to meet with some of the people that created this program, which assesses an organization being of, by, and for its community, kind of covering all of the bases that you would want a downtown to do. Some of the key items that the Downtown Monroe Association took away from the conference was executive director job shadowing. The Main Street program offers a mentor program, so I can go to a similar town that has similar strengths and weaknesses and learn from somebody that has a little bit more experience than I do. We created an Of By Four assessment and sat down with the creators of the project and are in contact with them. We would like to work on some town hall style meetings for upcoming community events, inviting our community residents, business owners to tell us what they want from our organization. And like I said earlier, the Young Professionals Week. We hosted in May our first Marry Me in Monroe event. Hopefully you all heard about it or heard of it or got to attend. With the LTAC funds, we created an event that was supposed to encompass the great resources we have in Monroe for wedding and event planning. We had 50 attendees, which we were very excited to hit that number. That was my base number that I was shooting for. And they received a generous swag bag that was filled with gifts, coupons, offers to come back to town and enjoy our town for more than just their event. That kind of represented the greater Monroe business district. They were provided a map and sent on their way from our helpful volunteers and staff at the Center for Wellbeing, which is our check-in location, and they did a self-guided tour, so it was kind of a choose-your-own-adventure for the day, and we heard lots of people that were excited to try and get as many venues and places as they could. We also heard from the vendors and the venues that enjoyed welcoming guests to their spiffied-up spaces. The weather for them was better. We were very excited about a sunny, warm day in May, especially as we all know how the spring has gone. And we were really happy with the quality of guests. We heard from several vendors and venues that they were looking for actually booking that day, and several of them received bookings that day. We capped off the evening with the Wine and Bridesmaids Wine Walk that took place downtown between 5 and 8 p.m. Guests received tasting tickets, and we featured local wineries and breweries so they can walk from
shop to shop and taste and experience the different things that our downtown had to offer. While we only had about 20 attendees, it was a great idea, and it's something that we've learned from and can expand on for next year. Overall, we feel like this was a really great first-year event. As Patty said, I am the new executive director taking over for Joey. She has big shoes to fill, and I'm excited to learn the role. I have worked with Historic Downtown Snohomish, the Snohomish Wedding Tour, and I currently manage two farmers markets in the greater Snohomish County area, along with running my own business, which focuses on small business social media. This quarter, the members of the DMA board put together a monthly cleanup event, which will take place on the last Saturday each month. The first one kicked off just about 2 weeks ago, and we had several people show up from the board along with some of their friends and family to help beautify our downtown. We want to make this a local nonprofit-driven organization where we allow other nonprofits to come and kind of do this as a group community event, and also work in some of our businesses to see what kind of specials they can offer to our volunteers as a way of thanks. We hosted our first ever DMA board retreat discussing a review of the year so far and where we want to go with the remainder of 2018. Through that meeting, we decided to change our Historic Downtown Monroe Facebook page, that new name that used to just be Downtown Monroe Association, to be a little bit more of a public-facing page so that we can engage our community. We're already seeing really great numbers on that and a lot more engagement than we were getting before. We also had a group, and I don't think that people quite understood the group, so now we have a public-facing page where people can like, share, comment. We're using some community members' pictures and things that I found through the community group on social media. And then we discussed our event concepts for 2019. We wanted to start the discussions early so we can get a head start on planning and executing to the best of our ability. That's what I have. Are there any questions?
Thank you very much. Council members, Councilmember Cutaback.
Thank you for the report. With the Marry Me in Monroe event, did you know where the 50 attendees came from? Did you collect data on kind of where they came from, how they heard of it?
A lot of them came from Monroe. They were very excited to have something like this in Monroe, in their hometown. I haven't gone through detail by detail of the survey results and the things like that, but yet we do have some of that data.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
You said that the last Saturday of every month is your cleanup thing?
Yes.
At what time and where you meet?
9 a.m. at the Gold Building. Mm-hmm. The intersection, Gold Building, the intersection of Main and Lewis. And it's on our Facebook page. A recurring event.
Don't confuse me. Thank you.
Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. So your profession is social media?
Yes.
And can you describe it a little bit? I'm just curious because of something that I saw at the AWC a couple weeks ago.
Sure. So it started as primarily social media, taking a small business's need and managing their Facebook page for them, kind of becoming their voice. It has blossomed into, as you can kind of see by my several paragraphs of what I do, running farmers markets, running events, those types of things. So it blossomed into more marketing and event production and assistant level, but basically what I do for a business is just take on their voice, do daily posts, try to engage their customers, get new customers, and get customers outside of their area to come to them.
One of the prime presentations I went to, they talked about the use of social media for downtown renovation and that kind of thing. So if you're okay with it, I will probably have some questions from parts of that course in the future. I'll contact you through the organization.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much for the report this evening.
Thank you.
The next item that we have on our agenda then comes under public comments. This is time set aside for members of the public to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. Comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker. And we have one person who signed up to speak, Jill Warner. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Jill Warner. I reside at the Bear Mountain Estates on Roosevelt Road. And I'm really in the fact-finding mission tonight. I have three items that I have concerns about. One being the fireworks that were exhibited by myself up at the community. Second is with a drone that I personally saw flying over one of the residents in our community. And then the third would be Republic Waste Management hasn't been coming every Tuesday, and have they changed their days of when they come and pick up the trash? If they haven't, let us know.
Okay. Thank you very much. Ms. Knight over here is our city administrator. She'll take down your name and address and everything, and we'll follow up with you with responses to those questions.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks, David.
Yep, good to see you again.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
Jill.
Yes.
Where did you say you live?
I live at Bear Mountain Estates up off of Roosevelt Road, CPAC Homes.
Okay. It's funny you should mention Republic, because I had a conversation with them this morning, this afternoon, because they haven't been coming. They're due on Tuesdays in our house or our neighborhood, and they haven't been coming last week or this week. And they said, their comment was that possibly they had a vacation and a new driver on the route, but they would check on it and they would be sure that they would come up, if not tonight, tomorrow to pick up. So maybe they'll do the same for you. But I do want to know about it, because this is number two. And I'm taking notes.
Well, also, they're picking up the recycling bins and the yard waste.
Right.
But they haven't been picking up just the general trash. So.
And what was your concern with the fireworks?
The fireworks is that I personally exhibited fireworks being lodged over the pitch of our home. From a public source, someone on the street behind us. And when I went over there, they had children that were literally igniting the Roman candle with their face over there. And I said, oh, wait a minute, you can't do this. I said, and their argument was, it's legal in the city of Monroe. It's my right to do that. So my question is, well, whose right is more at stake? Is it the homeowner that worries about their house being caught on fire, or the trees that are surrounding our properties, or is it just to have a good time, and that's, that trumps my concerns? And the drone, I don't know why it was flying over the house that was just two houses being north of me, and I stood there and made them stop flying that drone. I said, I feel that my privacy is at stake, and I don't remember seeing any notices that it would be flying over. And yes, I know that the FAA controls, because of aircraft, so it controls the drones, but I'd like to know what Monroe's feelings are with having that done. I'm asking this because we just started our HOA, and so I would like to find out whether we can put any of this on our books as to what can be controlled or not.
Thank you very much, and Councilmember Scarborough, as well as the rest of council, will get back to you on the Republic and anything else that would be relevant.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to consent agenda. Councilman,
I move to approve the consent agenda as listed.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutback to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 4-0. The clerk will read into the record consent agenda item number 6 and 7, please.
Thank you. Approved through the consent agenda vote was ordinance number 015-2018, amending chapter 20.12 MMC, transportation impact fees, updating the city's codified transportation impact fee schedule pursuant to MMC 2012-130, providing for severability and establishing an effective date. Also approved was ordinance number 016-2018, amending Chapter 9.28 MMC Park Code, updating standards and procedures regarding the sale of refreshments or merchandise and solicitors, providing for severability and fixing a time when the same shall become effective. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on to new business now. Before we move on to new business, please note that new business item number one and item number two would authorize the Mayor Pro Tem to sign agreements with Snohomish County. As you know, I do work for Snohomish County, and while I don't have an interest in these, I'm going to go ahead and recuse myself just out of the abundance of caution and appearance. And so as our Mayor Pro Tem, Councilmember Gamble's not here this evening, there will need to be a motion to appoint somebody the temporary Mayor Pro Tem. Councilmember Cuddeback.
I make a motion, or I move to appoint Councilmember Jim Camp, Mayor Pro Tem for tonight.
Okay. We have a motion from Councilmember Cuddeback. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Councilmember Camp, can I go ahead and provide you with... just go ahead and keep reading. Okay. And please let the record show that I am out of the record. Thank you.
Okay, so we're looking at... Representative Larry Dickerson for the Intergovernmental Snohomish County Diversion Center protest.
Probably at the police station.
He's doing the presentation.
Mr. Dickerson.
I'm going to move on to the next item and I'll pick it up at after the Brad speaks. You're welcome.
Cool.
Well, no, I meant who's item number two? Who's doing the. Yes.
That's me, yeah.
Perfect.
Okay, I guess I'm item number one now.
Brad, while the presentation for non exclusive.
Is that
a question?
As part of our capital improvement project, coming out of the comprehensive plan that was adopted a couple of years ago, it was determined that we did not have adequate fire flow to the west of the fairgrounds, and there's an existing water line there that sends water up to the housing developments along Roosevelt Road and the foothills. We were originally going to replace the existing water line in blue here with a new 16-inch water main. After we did the survey, we found there's a whole bunch of other stuff alongside that, and also that there is a this stream turned out here, this ditch, which turned out to be a stream, has wetlands and is a class stream. There's a large setback around it. So we looked at what else we could do, and after doing some value engineering, it was determined that if we add a parallel 12-inch line that will provide sufficient fire flow. We won't have to dig up the old line and risk damaging the power lines and the gas line and communication lines, and we stay farther away from the stream. However, that is on Snohomish County property, part of the Fairgrounds parking lot, and so they would like a little compensation for using their property, and that's what their agreement is. It's approximately $31,000 for us to have the easement to put that water line all across their property. And if there's any questions,
Councilman Kovic?
Just a question about the construction cost. Does it look like it went down?
Yes.
$20,000? Is that just because this is a smaller line or less
distance? No, same,
less distance,
it's the same line. It's a smaller diameter.
Smaller.
And then also, it's probably easier to construct out here rather than along the back of the buildings.
Okay.
So we're hoping that there'll be some savings on that too.
Okay. Well, this made complete sense to me when I read through it. So I'll make a motion to authorize the Mayor Pro Tem to sign a non-exclusive easement with Snohomish County for the airfield waterline replacement project.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve by Councilor Cuddeback and a second by Councilor Hanford. Any further discussion on that? Very well. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say aye. Any abstentions? Passes 4-0. Okay, our next item.
Do you want to go back to
Is it number one? Does it just have two?
The diversion, right, center.
So,
I will present on the diversion.
I would be. So the issue in front of council is to sign the intergovernmental agreement with Snohomish County for diversion center participation. The diversion center allows for temporary shelter and access to basic programs to individuals in an effort to provide those individuals with a stable source of housing and services until alternative treatment or housing options become available. If you take a look at the agreement itself, the agreement expires December 31st, 2018, but may be renewed for up to 3 additional 1-year terms by written notice from the county to the city. Also, I want to bring to council's attention that at this time, there is no cost to the city to provide diversion center services. So we're asking for council's approval of the interlocal agency agreement at this time.
Councilmember Cook.
So reading this, I mean, this makes sense too. I mean, I think this seems like a great opportunity to collaborate for this work. I did read in there that we were responsible for transportation to and from and to medical appointments, so it did seem like there is a cost of time and transportation. I don't know what that would look like, but it didn't seem like it was no cost whatsoever. Not that it's a cost I don't think we should incur, because it seems like a great arrangement, but there seems like there is a cost there. And we wouldn't know how much it is because we don't know how many people we will have in the diversion center at any one time, correct?
Yes.
We are responsible for transportation. Sounded like to and from the center, to medical appointments. And would that be our police department providing transportation? Bless you.
I don't know the answer to that question,
okay.
So I'd have to get back to you on that.
Okay, I was just curious if obviously if they're promoting this, they felt they had time and to do that. So, yes.
If I may, if this is a diversion to keep these particular individuals from having to go to jail, and if we hadn't sent them to jail, we would still have those transportation costs, and that's the arresting authority, we would be responsible for any medical for them anyhow. So it really is an offset.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. Okay. Makes sense to me. So I'll make a motion on this one also. Authorize the Mayor Pro Tem to sign the intergovernmental agreement with Snohomish County for diversion center participation and expressly authorize further minor revisions deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
So we have a first from Councilmember Cutterback, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Pass 4-0. And your pro tem portion.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, thank you.
The next item that we have on our agenda this evening is new business item number 3. This is AB 18-151, ordinance number 018-2018, amending MMC 1802 and 1810 regarding temporary dwellings. Mr. Swanson.
Great. Thank you, Council Mayor. So the proposed ordinance was originally passed in the Governor of Paper and Lands. The emergency ordinance was originally passed back in March 2018, and this was in response to the development community, specifically two individuals that approached the city about the need for a temporary security guard on site. And complaints came where they had large dollar amounts worth of raw material on land, people were stealing them, and the other complaint was vandalism, where one of the developers really nervous is they had actually completed the framing and sheeting of their structure, and they'd have fires not within the building but on site before, and they were concerned that somebody would start a fire and the whole thing would go up. And this was a, I think, 8-unit multifamily development, so a substantial amount of product would have been lost if that would have caught fire. And so that's when they came to us and said, I'm really in a bad situation here, and I would love if I could just have a presence on site. And it's not necessarily that these would be professional security guards, but just someone to watch over and notify the authorities in case something's happened, and not only just that human presence on site that that deters people. So after presenting City Council with the emergency ordinance, they passed it, and we went through our standard process through Planning Commission, notified the Department of Commerce, went through our CEPA process, and we did receive comments back from and requested modifications back from the Planning Commission, and that was in the number of temporary security dwellings that were allowed per site. And so originally, staff's recommendation was allow one per foot, one per site. They thought a sliding scale may be better just based on the overall scale of the site. They were concerned if we limited to one and you have a larger 5-acre site or above, that that they could potentially be stealing or interrupting something on one corner of the site, however the security person's down at the other end of the site. And so that modification was recommended and inserted into the proposed ordinance in front of you. Other than that, the ordinance stays the same as what council approved on the neighbors.
Thank you very much.
Councilmember Kupak?
From before.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have.
Did you want me to call?
I'll let someone else make a motion.
All right. Councilmember Kemp.
Sure.
I move to accept as first reading ordinance number 018/2018. Adopting zoning regulations pursuant to RCW 3670A390 and RCW 35A63220, amending Chapter 1810 MMC Land Use Zoning District and District Requirements, and Chapter 18.02 MMC Definitions, authorizing and establishing standards and definitions for the installation, use, and occupancy of temporary dwellings for security guards on active development project sites, setting forth supportive findings, providing for severability, and establishing an effective date.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Kemp for the requested action as typed in Agenda Bill number 18-151. I have a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is final action. Item number one. This is AB 18-152, Snohomish Health District Board of Health Appointments. And I appear to be the one who's presenting on this. Council members, I received a request from a couple of our neighboring cities, for an appointment to the Snohomish Health District. I advised them that it is the council here that makes the nomination from our city. They have sent forward some information that's in the packet there, and we are looking for a motion for one of these two individuals to serve on the Snohomish Health District. I understand that the city of Index and Gold Bar have not yet decided, and I think that's the extent of all I have. Does anybody have any questions for me?
I'll have a comment.
Okay. So seeing none, Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I am working for the Public Health Department, so this won't directly affect me, but unless there's some kind of an issue with me participating in this vote, especially in light of the fact that we only have four people, I was planning on voting on this unless council members or other executives or the city attorney has an issue with it.
I myself have no issue. I think the necessity of a quorum would. Yeah, I've gone through this before a number of years ago. So I think you get to stay.
Okay.
I have no objection. Does any council member have an objection? All right. There are no objections. And so if nobody has any questions, I would entertain a motion. Councilmember Hanford.
I move to certify Linda Redman as the council representative to the Snohomish County Health District Board of Directors.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion to certify Linda Redman from the Snohomish City Council as the council representative to the Snohomish County Health District Board of Directors. From Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda then is Councilmember reports. So we'll go ahead and go on down the dais. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Welcome back. I had the opportunity of going to the AWC conference a couple of weeks ago, and it was quite an experience. The first thing I wanted to point out is to thank the administrator and Commissioner Rousey for making sure that I had sleeping arrangements set up that night, and I didn't have to sleep in my car. Thanks for the sacrifice. It was a great event, much better than I had expected. I had an opportunity to meet with a lot of different towns of various sizes, and got some great ideas about things that they are doing to increase participation and renovation of their town. One presenter in particular, and I mentioned it at the opening remarks for the DMA, presented, the term she used was a ninja approach to activities to get small participation in city renovation. Using social media, get groups together and start them working at creating small events. Not big, hard-packed, highly complicated, hard-to-organize events, but smaller events. And I thought it was really appropriate, a really good idea. That's why I'm curious about using social media for that aspect of it. That's really the high point. I'm sure that the others will speak to it as well. The other classes were good. This one really stuck in my mind, and I think it's stuck in a few others since it started off as her first presentation was half full, her second one was absolutely full, and the final one was standing room only and out of the wall. So it was really incredible and a lot of good resources for it. And next year, to get a chance, I would highly recommend it. That's it.
Thank you. Please let the record show that Councilmember Davis entered chambers at 7:42. Good evening, Councilmember.
Good evening.
And Councilmember Davis, it's your turn. We're on Councilmember Reports.
Are we just getting started?
You are.
I'm sorry. I'm glad I made it. I stuck at work for an extra hour and a half. Then there was a car fire on 405 when I got out.
Oh, my.
And that's on Bullion, off the highway here. My wife calls me to tell me she's on the other side of the highway.
Oh, my.
With problems. So, rescue her. So,
you made it.
I believe.
Welcome.
Anyways, that I have nothing else.
But we have executive session, so we'll hold on to you for a little bit longer. Thank you, sir. Councilmember Hanford.
Nothing tonight, except that we got a great fourth. It's nice to hear the reports from fire chief, the numbers, and it's good to hear.
Good. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Welcome back. I was on vacation. I actually went down to Vegas, which was very hot, 113 degrees. But this weather is absolutely beautiful. We are very fortunate to live in the Pacific Northwest. So that's about it.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Nice to be back. I say I missed you all.
Do you mean it?
I do. But missed being, I feel like I don't know anything because I haven't been here. I do have a question. This was in my box. I'm here, and it says incident report. It looks like a bunch of firework incidents. Are these, is this the list of what happened this 4th of July?
Yes.
So this list appears to be about 3 times longer than last year.
So this is the list of police responses, and I forwarded to the City Council the summary that came from Fire District 7 earlier in the week.
I think in light of this, and Ms. Warren, we might want to think about having another discussion about fireworks. It seems to me that it was louder, bigger booms, bigger pieces of explosive, if you will. It lasted longer. There were people somewhere in our neighborhood shooting them off Sunday. And the only good part was it didn't have to deal with my poor dog having to deal with it. So I just, again, we need to talk to the firemen, see how they feel. They're the ones that are going out there catching up people. This example that Ms. Warren gave is just an example of people who don't know the power of what they're dealing with if they've got their kids, their face over the explosive. And I just think that, I know there's people who think we're, it's a conspiracy, we're trying to stop patriotism. But I don't think that's so, but I think we need to have another discussion about fireworks and something. That's all.
All right, thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
I was just going to second that. I think it would be interesting to see if we put it out there to the public, just how the public feels, and get some more input. I know last year, and I asked for the reports last year, we had 3 fires up in the farm last year. This year it didn't appear that we had any fires in the farm at Woods Creek, which was a good thing, so it seemed a little bit more controlled. But I do think there is some people out there who might not be as vocal, who make comments to me every year about the amount of fireworks and the boom and the danger. And I know we had a house burned down a few years ago. And so I do think it's 2 years ago. I think it's worthy of seeing if this would be of interest for the public to discuss. I know there's some people, as Councilmember Scarborough mentioned, that it's our patriotic duty to have fireworks. One doesn't think that's being a patriot, but you know, it would be interesting to see how the public really feels about that. So I don't have any thoughts or suggestions, but whether it's a survey through social media, some type of survey through some information through the water bill or something to invite people to a public hearing to find out how people really feel about it. That'd be interesting.
All right, so I've got 2 council members who would like to see on a future agenda conversation on fireworks. We can go ahead and just have a free conversation about what you'd like to see relative to fireworks, rather than having staff put together a specific analysis. We've done this after the last couple 4th of Julys, and I want to make certain that staff time is is focused. So I guess what I'm looking for from you right now is we can certainly put it on an upcoming agenda. We can certainly mention the fact that this came up at this evening's meeting. Is there additional information that either of you or Councilmember Camp or anybody else would like to see as part of that material brought forward? So Councilmember Cutterback, I'm going to acknowledge you still have the floor, and we'll go to Councilmember Camp.
I apologize, I didn't see the email sent out yet on the fire marshal's report. Did it compare it to last year? Did it have a comparison of over the last few years? Because this police incident report does not, and I think that would be good information to see. Is it something where there's more incidents? How many fires have there been over the last 5 years? It's good to see a trend and to see, are we continuing?
So we'll make certain the material that's brought forward includes that.
Yeah, just so I can see a trend line, see what's happening over the course of 3 to 5 years would be ideal.
All right, 3 to 5 years. What additional information would council like? Would you like to see anything further?
Just make sure it's the police and the fire.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good. All right, Councilmember Camp.
And you're going to include injury with that as well?
Yes. Yes, reported injury. So not necessarily people that were taken directly to the hospital, but that were ambulatory.
Right. Even the car one.
Yes.
What I was wondering about is every discussion we've had about fireworks has been here at our council. I can't remember a time when we had something that was a separate event, maybe in a different location, and encouraging people just to show up and maybe on a different day or even during the day, like on a Saturday or something. I'm just wondering, since this has happened every year, we get someone coming back and saying,
yeah,
there's an issue. And I agree, you may not be a patriot setting up fireworks, but it's a tradition. It's what we have. If it'd be possible to have something a little bit more involvement, maybe send out that notification in the water bill that we're going to discuss fireworks on such a day in a different environment than a formal council meeting. Just encourage input from people. I don't know if that would be useful. Would anybody else think it would be useful? And I'll yield it.
So It'd be good to research what we did last year. I feel like this is like deja vu. Like last year, I feel like the monitor actually put out, we're going to talk about fireworks on this day. Come speak your mind. I feel like we've gone down this road before. I could be wrong, but. And if we do go down this road, then I feel like it's a waste of time, honestly, if we really did put that out there. Because the response was not overwhelming against or for.
Right.
So,
I'm not taking anything away from that. Just, but I said a formal council meeting, limited time, other events, as opposed to an event where we are just going to talk about fireworks and try to find some
resolution. I was just going to say, I understand. I was just going to say that we're going to spend some time on this. That certainly, Councilmember Camp still has the floor. He's gone ahead and given the floor to other people. I was just going to say that if this gets into more of a discussion, this would be an example of what we could continue discussing when it comes back in a couple of weeks. So, Councilmember Camp still has the floor. He's yielded to Councilmember Kovac. Go ahead.
I was just going to agree. It would be nice to get more information. I don't think, because we have new people moving into the community too every year. We're growing, there's new developments, so they might not have had access. And I agree with Councilmember Camp that sometimes directing people to come to a council meeting at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, people don't show up. So I think if there's a way to try to elicit feedback in many different avenues, that would be the best. And you're right, people might not come forward, but every year I do hear verbally, like, complaints, but also people that really enjoy that. So I'm on the fence of, you know, do we really need to do something about it if this comes back every single year and it doesn't seem like we've had a thorough process that we remember and know exactly what we've done and this is why we do it. So I would be open at another council meeting, again, bringing this back and maybe setting out a plan. What is our plan? We can't do anything for next year anyways per state code. So, you know, this would be 2 years. We've got time, but if we're going to do anything, we have to put it in place or do it before a full year before next July.
Let's see how the red lights go.
All right. Thank you. Councilman Scarborough.
Did I understand that we're going to follow up with the public health and heritage also?
Yes, sir. Okay, so on the Councilmember Hanford.
So I was just going to say, I think we took action. We changed we limited the sale dates, we shrunk it down so it wasn't going to be for sale for all the kids ahead of time. So again, we should check the record. But I feel like we've done our due diligence. We have one person show up that complained about, you know, what happened. So. That's just my, and the argument of, well, Tuesday night, and how can you expect people to come on Tuesday night? Yes, they can email us at any time. It's publicized years in advance, Tuesday nights are when they talk about it. So, and to have one person come up and all of a sudden now we need a special night or a special Saturday for, let's find out what the public thinks about fireworks. To me, it's like, whoa, there's one person. So, I think we're overreacting. So.
Great. Councilmember Kent?
Just in reference to that one person's from New Development. Mm-hmm. I've heard it from Main Street, Rylands. Well, this is the first time I'm hearing something from someone in Bear Creek Village or whatever it is.
Fairmount
is new, within a year or yeah. So, I don't know, it might just be the tip of the iceberg. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. The impression I get from some people who are more adamantly opposed to fireworks is that City Council's not going to do it. I approve these rules. So it doesn't matter. We have done a lot of work. And if we're beating it, of course, I am finished.
Okay, so we will place on the extended agenda the issue of fireworks. We will include data from the last 3 to 5 years to include both fire and police. We will mention in the staff briefing that the council talked about having some sort of community outreach related to fireworks, just to recap this meeting. Our city administrator was just approached by our community, by our public works director, by our director, insert blank here, that we did receive two complaints on Comcate, which is one of the ways that we track complaints, so we'll make certain we include any complaints that the city received. And we'll go ahead and we'll queue that up for the next couple weeks or so.
And can you also add to that, looking exactly what we did last year?
We'll include a copy of the agenda bill from last year.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Did I get that?
All right.
Cool. Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough, did you have anything further? All right. Let's move out to staff. Thank you, everybody. The staff reports. First, we have community development. Mr. Swanson.
Thank you. So the community development staff reports in your packets identifies numbers and current projects we're working on, but in addition to that, I just wanted to give you a brief update on the Monroe to Duval bus that is currently in process. So Sequoia Transit is in the process of hiring a driver for it. We are pursuing sustainable funding sources through other organizations. We just had a meeting with Community Transit yesterday at 10:30 and met with some higher level individuals there and basically explained our whole process and why we think this would be great to incorporate as part of community transit funding. They're not the only ones that we're looking at, but also, you know, want them to be a partner in it. Obviously, just like council wanted, they want some data points back. And and once we get the bus going, we'll, you know, I'll bring those back to council, but they requested the same thing, see how much ridership they're getting. With the fixed deviated route that council approved, the path of the bus changed slightly because now they have that deviation where they can offshoot to different areas, so they just made it basically a continuous loop out. And my concern was, you know, as you pick up those residents in Monroe, they'll have to go all the way back down to Duval and back up again. And she assured me that they can deviate off that route to drop them off at the shopping and then hop back down. They just didn't want to make it part of the fixed loop. What happened was, is they came up and they ran that route six different times. And the lowest time they got of the proposal was 93 minutes. And they have to be well under 90 to do that deviation. So the route was modified to include the deviation. Throughout this one-year process, it will be analyzed and they'll be collecting essentially ridership data. So if they see a constant deviation going on there, that will just, you know, feed more into, we need additional services here, and it's more than we can take back to community transit and other organizations about having additional services. Also, Amy Bates, who heads up the Sequoia Valley Transportation, is still going, working with the King County Council and pushing them for additional funding and additional services up here. So as of August 1st, we'll technically have two buses that come into Monroe. You have the fixed route that we have, and then you have an on-demand service that that is currently been running, and that calls a 24-hour advance notice for pickup.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Yeah. Sorry, Mr. Swanson. Have you been out to Duval and seen the development out behind Safeway and Quiznos?
I have.
And across the street, the county development. Do you see or talk to those people? Is that affected by them on traffic between us and Duval, or are they all going to go out now with the hill?
I was actually involved in that development when I worked in Duval, and that's largely where the trip generation goes. It goes right over the hill into Redmond, and that's where most of the Duval residents go.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next staff member that we have to update council would be Ms. Knight for economic development.
And I have to apologize. I put my agenda materials in past the deadline, so my report will be next meeting.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Next person is Ms. Hassert for finance.
And I'm just going to sit here because basically this is the report for May, and we're currently now working on June, so it will be at the next regular business meeting. So it was in the last packet as well, so unless you have questions, I'm going to leave it as well.
Any questions? All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to Human Resources and IT. Mr. Wortham.
I'll get up just because he's offended.
You're trying to light my eyes?
No. I would, yes.
Mine is also from last month. The big things are, from an HR perspective, we're still looking for one police officer. I did notice several individuals in suits last week out in the front part of the police department, so I assume that they were conducting some interviews last week, so could be some individuals going through to the next round on that. And then the week of June 29th, we did take our servers offline over the weekend for about 24 to 48 hours to do some upgrades. For the most part, when we got back on Monday, everything was working. I'd say we're basically on a punch list, just working through a couple of final pickup items. But nothing, everything for the most part worked, which is always a success. So that's all I have.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Worthen? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to Parks and Recreation. Mr. Farrell.
I'll come up with it. Why not? Good evening, Council. There. So, Parks and Rec, this month, July, is Parks and Rec month. So, at the June 21st Park Board meeting, the Mayor read the proclamation for the July as Parks and Recreation month. So get out in those parks. Then also in the report, we had a great Tri-Monroe event, good weather, lots of great competitors from all across North America. Something that's not in the report, but an email out to you all, is Brad made this really cool map that shows, when you, you know, get on the link, all the locations across the United States where all of these athletes came from. So really kind of, you know, it's impressive to see something like that. So thank you, Brad. And also, our new seasonal boat rental program at Lake Tai has been initiated, and we've just gotten positive reviews. You may see that on our social media, too. It's doing well. We're happy to have that. We're happy to have that service out of the park. Speaking of that park, then, Music in the Park on Fridays, it was interrupted by a squall, or I don't know what else to call it, this last Friday.
I would call it a deluge, because yeah. I got caught in it.
And so the band was great until the rains came. So anyway, that'll be this Friday again as well out at the park. And then moving along to the unmarked trails inspections, looking at how the past weeks were, it was pretty much an average month as far as labor hours spent and the amount of litter and whatnot collected. Last thing I want to note, it's not on the report too, is that it was Monday, June 25th, City Administrator Deborah Knight and I, we joined representatives from Snohomish County Parks or Tourism, and also the Department of Fish and Wildlife representative. We joined with representatives from, they're called Tangrim Design. They're out of Denver, Colorado, and the county has hired them to do a signage design plan for along the river, the public access sites along the river. So if you recall, a year ago in June, there were the trail workshops in Sultan and Monroe, and out of that workshop in Monroe, we've identified like wayfinding, locations at, you know, at Al Borland, Lewis Street Park, and also the Fish and Wildlife Boat Launch, water safety sites or spots for that, and then also like historic and environmental information. So this signage plan program is just getting kicked off, and so Deborah and I met them at the sites, so we just kind of introduced them to the sites, the consultants from Tangram, and they're going to be working with us then in the coming months, and the goal is to have it pretty much completed as far as their designs by February, this upcoming February. They, one of the examples of their designs is they designed the wayfinding plan, all the signage around the Boeing Museum of Flight Center. So as part of this, they'll be, you know, obviously talk about locations, but also size, type, materials, and basically, you know, in a comprehensive way. So I will provide regular updates to you as this process progresses. I know that, you know, parks will be involved, but also community development, our chamber, and also Lake DMA as well.
That was all I have to report. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Council, any questions? Mike, thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right, the next presentation we have is our police update, and Mr. Dickerson is over celebrating with our new officers, so I'm going to go ahead and go through that really quickly. First, under community outreach and enforcement team, we had one client celebrate their one-year anniversary for sobriety and is about ready to have a reunification with their children and getting an apartment. We've got some other really positive items that are listed there. There are also six new clients in addition to those that have moved on in different programs they've been involved in. Under the community, we have Take the Next Step on June 5th. The Monroe Police Officers Association served dinner at Take the Next Step. The PD also had active shooter management training. We had a youth academy that was held for 4 days in June, and 25 local area young people attended the week-long academy that Sergeant Spencer Robinson organized. This was the first time that we've held something like this here in Monroe, and I understand it was really successful. Personnel, just a couple items of note there. Officer Noel Richards is currently in field training phase 3, and then recruit Natalie Steinbeck is graduating on July 19th, and then recruit Alex Thomas is in the basic academy scheduled to graduate October 10th. We have a couple of vacancies that are in the process of being filled, and then you've got your update there at the bottom on the year-to-date comparisons for burglaries, vehicle prowls, vehicle thefts, and vehicle recoveries. Does anybody have any questions for me that I can attempt to answer? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item, and that would be our Public Works update with Mr. Feilberg.
Mayor?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I apologize. I just have one question about the statistics.
Yes.
Those are the reported cases. Are those the ones that are closed? Are
we talking about on the top of page?
Yeah, for the prowls and the thefts and the vehicle recoveries are. That just says the incident that the.
Just a second, let me catch up with you. Are we talking at the bottom of page 2?
Yeah, at the bottom of the police report.
The statistics.
Right, so I'll have Mr. Dickerson, unless somebody else knows, I'll have Mr. Dickerson follow up, but I'm understanding that those are calls for service.
Okay.
So those would be a 911 phone call expressing concern about a vehicle prowl, that kind of thing. So those would not be people that have been taken to court, but rather calls for service.
But it's not, I was just wondering if those were eventually solved.
Not necessarily.
Those are just 911 calls.
Correct. Yeah. So with that said, though, Mr. Dickerson will follow up to the whole body of council just to confirm that that is indeed the case or explain that I didn't have the right information in my head at the time.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. The next item then would be our Public Works update. Mr. Feilberg.
And then, like usual, I'm going to not say that the written report is in your backups because it's not. Because I was on vacation, so I missed the deadline too. I have a couple things to point out to you. One is the public workshop. They've installed the large storm infiltration basins. They've done the underslab electrical conduits and plumbing, and they've done all the footing and foundation rebar. So it's just about ready to start pouring the big giant slab out there. If everybody wants a tour, we'd be happy to take you out there. And then we're going to be starting the overlay work on next Monday with the removing the ramps on Bradley's Boulevard, and then they'll kind of work from that corner of town to Main Street and Kelsey, doing that in the next couple of weeks, and then they'll start grinding overlay. If there's any questions that we have to answer.
Any questions for Mr. Feilberg?
Thank you
very much, Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you.
The next one then would be a city administrator update. Ms. Knight.
Just real briefly, council, a reminder that the budget workshop is scheduled for Tuesday the 31st, and it starts at 5 p.m. Dinner will be served, and the regular meeting begins at 5:30. We did get notice that the city is being recommended for $500,000 worth of funding out of the Snohomish Conservation Futures funding opportunities, and so we're going to be waiting for that recommendation to go in front of the county council. So that's for the East Monroe property. Also, we are in the process of amending the covenants with Providence to allow dental services on the North Kelsey properties, That's in preparation for a purchase and sale agreement for that parcel 2A with Bruce Anderson. So we're currently just kind of working through that paperwork piece to get those amendments put in place. On the extended agenda, the meeting for the July 17th is going to be focused on, just really briefly, the parking in cul-de-sacs and the signage. We had a member of the public come and ask why no parking signs were placed in cul-de-sacs, and so this is the staff response to that. And then also the Economic Development Advisory Board recommendations have been to the Parks Board and the Planning Commission, and so that recommendation is finally moving forward to the City Council for consideration at your meeting on the 17th. And then, and looking forward to the extended agenda, our meeting on the 24th, we just have kind of regular council items. We will be bringing the recommendation forward from the Council Legislative Committee on a lobbyist contract at that meeting as well. And just to note, your meeting on Tuesday, August 7th is canceled for National Night Out. So your next meeting after that will be on August 14th.
All right, any questions from Ms. Knight? Seeing none, Mayor's update. I also attended the Association of Washington Cities Conference. A great opportunity to network with folks, and a couple different workshops that I attended were really useful. Also, this week I'll be interviewing about a half dozen people for the police chief position. So this is my first cut for me to get an idea as to whether or not I've got a small pool of candidates to bring forward for the next rounds of interviews. So looking forward to doing that on Thursday. So I was reminded also that we don't have a representative on Snohomish County tomorrow, so I don't know if there's anybody that is able to attend Snohomish County tomorrow, but it is an organization that we really ought to have a voting member attend. So those meetings are, the Snohomish County tomorrow meetings, are they?
Fourth Wednesday of the month?
Okay, fourth Wednesday of the month. And so I would really like to have somebody volunteer or express an interest in doing that next week or the week after. We need to have a voice at those meetings because the decisions they make there affect our ability to annex, to accept or not accept population. It then impacts resources and finances for things like 522, Highway 2, and so on and so forth. So I would really like to have somebody attend those meetings. I think that's all that I had. We do have a need for a couple of executive sessions. We will be going into executive session for potential litigation pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection I, and also for pricing of property, RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection C. Please note that we have listed two items for potential litigation on the citation that I provided. I'm going to go ahead and say that we'll start off with 10 minutes, which is intended to encompass all three items, and we will extend as necessary as usual. I do expect there to be action following executive session, if nothing else, but to adjourn the meeting. So we are now in executive session.
Okay, we're back in session. We have no further business this evening. Councilmember Camp?
I move to keep me adjourned.
Okay. We have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Good night. Thank you all.